Dirk Nowitzki here. Congratulations on all of it, the championship, the MVP trophy that you have there in your lap. What is it like?
It's really unbelievable. I mean, you can't even put it into words. I mean, you put so many hours in, so much work, and came so close in 06. Biggest disappointment of my life and my career, and it took so long to finally come back to the stage and really against a team that that's unbelievable, and for us to, as a team, to fight through it, and we fall down in the series and fight back and battle back in games, and it's just an unbelievable team effort.
Was there a point in the series where you felt like you could really beat them? You came back 15 down in this arena in Game 2 and won.
Well, I think really all games that we won were big. I mean, obviously Game 2 was huge. You don't want to never go home 0-2, and there's no way. I think we would have beaten them three straight home games, so that was big. Game 4 was big down the stretch to tie the series, and then all the other ones. So it's we just kept battling back, and that's what a veteran team is all about. We stuck together in tough times, and even today, I mean, I couldn't make a shot to save my life. I was just having an awful night, just having a
having a
bad go. But the team was unbelievable. Jet Terry, amazing. Kid is a warrior. JJ played phenomenal again today, and the guys just picked me up. And I just think that's what we've been doing all season long. If somebody's down, another guy steps in, pats him up, and goes in there and does his job. Mahinmi was phenomenal today when Hayward was hurt. So it was just an unbelievable team effort. I'm so proud of them.
The list goes on, and then you got going there down the stretch again as you have the whole series. How long was that fourth quarter for you?
Yeah, I mean, we looked up, and we were up like 10, and it was 8, and I looked up, and it was like still 6.5 minutes to go, and I was like, oh, man, the clock just doesn't seem to go from down. So that was it was tough to watch, but then minute for minute we kept making plays. Jet hit some big jumpers, big pull-ups, and it was a great game for us. But I think the defense really won us the game again. Had some big stops down the stretch that really helped us.
Eric Spoelstra said you really took them out of your rhythm when you bring that zone in and then take it away. That really disrupted them. What did you also do so effectively on LeBron James in this series?
Well, I think we tried to keep those guys out of the lane, and we know it's tough. Those guys are so explosive off the dribble, and I thought we did a decent job containing the penetration, even though today they got to the foul line a bunch of times. But I thought over the series we did a good job not letting them get to the basket as much and keeping them on the perimeter and making them shoot tough shots. And I got it clear.
Hey, this is Woody B from the Dallas Mavericks, and you listen to Our Sport Radio.
RF Sports Show.
RF Sports Show.
Talking sports.
Yeah, he's playing excellent in the playoffs, and Dirk is unguardable. We said that on our previous shows leading up to this Mavs game, and he really presented it tonight, 24 points tonight. And when they come back to Dallas, he's even better at home, much better than he is on the road. So we're definitely going to see a lot more from Dirk in this series. He's really going to be the one, I think, to push his team over the hump. I said a lot about the Mavs, that they didn't really think they're going to win this game, but they showed me something tonight. I mean, I like the way this team's playing right now.
Talking sports.
From a fan's perspective.
Mondays, right after Saturday Night Lights, and Wednesdays, right after the breakdown, right here on Deep End Radio, deependmedia.net, and rfsportsradio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to our show tonight, RF Sports Radio. What more can we say but the Mavs have done it? They are the 2011 NBA champions. I mean, it doesn't even sound right for us Dallas Mavericks fans that the Mavs have finally done it. They're not the one-and-done boys, but they're the get-it-done boys, and they did it last night, beating the Miami Heat. A great game. We got so much stuff to talk about. Everything from the game last night, the Mavs won by 10 points, 105-95. We'll get into the stat sheet. We'll talk about both benches and how the Mavs bench stepped up big for the Mavs, including Jet Terry. We'll talk about Dirk. You heard his comments at the start of the program, him winning the MVP and how emotional he was in that particular win. And also my co-host Royce has got a special section on why the Mavericks won and why the Heat lost in this series. We'll get into Mark Cuban and some of the stuff he had to say about fans punking fans. And we also got to talk about the Miami Heat, the losers of the finals. So much hype around this team. They came out starting this season with the big thing about winning multiple championships, the big WWE-style press conference, introducing the new players, LeBron making a decision to take his talents down to South Beach. So much hype around this team, but they can't pull it off when it's time to get it done. And our whole congratulations go out to the Mavs for their entire season. We got so much stuff to talk about. Join us if you listen to us live, 323-927-2906, and get on board the Mavs train. There's plenty of room out there for everyone to get on. Let me bring my co-host on real quick, Royce. And Royce, first of all, man,
what's
welcome
going
to
on,
the
Ryan?
Program. Welcome to the program, first of all, and how about the Mavericks?
Man, in the words of Jimmy Johnson, I'm just going to say, how about them Mavs? Man, what a fantastic series right now. I'm excited because I'm a Mavs fan. The whole city's fired up. I mean, partying last night like it was 1999. And, man, congratulations, Mavs. Man, it's been a long wait. Don't you agree?
Oh, it's been a long wait. It's been a long wait. And just in the time that even Dirk Nowitzki was here, so much has happened with this team from 2006 and losing to the Heat in four straight games to one and done the year after that and all the stuff that's happened in the playoffs, but they got it done this time.
Yeah, they did. And in fantastic fashion, man, and with a lot of class, and there's no doubt to be left out there that this was the greatest team of 2011. It shouldn't be any doubt, man. They did it with class, dignity, man, and as a team. That was what's so fantastic about it. You know what I mean? They say it's one star on this team. I have to dispute that. It's more than one star on this team. It's a team of stars.
And then also, too, we want our callers to call in and send out your shout-outs, send out your well wishes to the Mavericks or to your favorite player on the Mavs. Congratulate who you thought in this series played the biggest, who you thought in Game 6 helped them pull out the win, but congratulate the player that you really want to thank for this great season by the Mavericks. So give us a call, 323-927-2906. Get on, talk about the Mavs, talk about the Heat. We want to hear from Heat fans tonight as well, too, about how you feel about LeBron James now, even some of the comments that he made. So we got a power-packed show for you guys. Let's jump right into it, Russ. Let's jump into the stat sheet, if we can, and look at some of the stats overall. And in this Game 6, before Game 6 happened, we talked about the Mavs closing them out on Sunday. We also talked about who had to play big. We thought Dirk would have to have a big game, but Dirk came out in the first half, 1-for-12.
Yeah, he did. And surprisingly, that the Mavs did stay within the game. I mean, Dirk couldn't buy a shot the first half. I mean, everything he threw up, they were rimming out, you know, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is trouble. But it was just the opposite, right?
Dirk ended up finishing his MVP finals with 21 points, 11 rebounds, a double-double. Sean Marion, 12 points, 8 rebounds. Tyson Chandler, 5 points, 8 rebounds. How big was Chandler in this series?
Right.
And also Kidd with 9 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. And J.J., getting the start again for the third straight game, 15 points, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 3 rebounds to go with it as well. So the starting five did their job out there, but that bench came alive for the Mavs as well, too.
And, you know, we talked about this earlier in the season. Anytime you get 5 Mavericks in double figures, they were like 26-9, something like that. I mean, anytime you get those 5, that's their winning formula. If 5 guys score in double figures, 9 times out of 10, they win.
Hey, look at the stats for the Miami Heat. Chris Bosh, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 1 steal. LeBron James, who we got a lot to talk about, 21 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. And Joel Anthony with 0 points. Didn't get any help from him in his starting lineup.
D-Wade never do.
17 points from D-Wade, 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 18 points from Mario Chalmers. Who got the start? And I want to talk about that real quick. They started Chalmers and didn't play Bibby at all in Game 6. Why did they decide to go ahead and take their best bench player and put him in the starting lineup?
simply because this was a do or die game for Miami. You know, I did bring that up before this game started, that I would start Chalmers because, you know, that really is the full score. And, you know, like we just talked about, Dallas had five guys that could score. That gave them the full score. Like you had mentioned earlier, Joel Anthony didn't have at 0 points. Mm-hmm. What did he score in the whole series? What, 4 points, 6 points, maybe?
Yeah,
so he really was the fourth weapon that they needed to have out there in order to win the Mavericks. So I did call this earlier. You remember that, don't you?
You did say something about that, Allen.
If I was Miami, I would start Chalmers instead of Mike Bibby. Really, they got nothing out of Mike Bibby. He had, what, like 9 points?
Well, they didn't get enough out of Chalmers. But Bibby had 0 points. He didn't even play in game
right.
six. And they didn't get enough out 18. Of Chalmers because they did lose the
well,
game.
Well, they got 18 points. With them three scoring, what, 60, 70 points with their average? That was enough to get them over. That was 98. That was 90-something points. And, you know, it went from 80s to the 90s to order you had to score almost 100 the last three games in order to win. Remember that? They needed that extra 15 to 20 points to put them over the 90 mark. You see what I'm saying? So I can see why they put it in.
Let's take a caller real quick on the RF Sports Radio Show, our tribute to the Mavs, where we crowned the Mavs champions tonight. Caller 6036, you're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. Who in the Mavs do you want to congratulate?
I would like to congratulate Dirk Nowitzki, you know, on finally, you know what I'm saying, giving the basketball world something to respect him on, coming through critically in the fourth quarter for everyone. And most importantly, at least in that last game, you know, I know Jet didn't show up every game of the season, but when it was needed and when it counted, the Jet showed that he was just as much a superstar as LeBron James was.
Well, you know, they called him Mr. Fourth Quarter this year. A couple of games he didn't show up, but for the most part, he was Mr. Fourth Quarter this year.
And while I have you on, we are joined by chosen host of the Icebreaker Radio Show, which comes on Blog Talk Radio as well, too. And you've been with us this whole season covering these Mavs. You've had good things to say. You've had bad things to say. But looking at this team overall, what do you think about this team at this point right now as the 2011 NBA champions?
Well, I was happy to be wrong, most importantly. I was happy to be wrong. I didn't think that it was possible to build a championship team around Dirk with him starting at the four because I felt like his lack of post play wasn't there. But I can honestly say, and I mean this, if you look at the film, Dirk changed as a player. The guy dug down, he took contact, and he made shots when they counted. And had he not missed that shot in their last loss, they might have beat the Heat, you know, 4-1.
That's right. And, you know, you were on this team a lot this year. I will admit, you rode them hard.
I'll throw this out there for the Heat fans. Missed free throws is why they weren't able to compete in this ball game this last
night. Right. Right.
Yes,
what were the stats on the free throw, Rodney? They were like, what,
For the free throws for the Miami Heat, that's a great point. For free throws, they were actually 20-33 on
right,
game six.
Terrible.
I mean, they shot a ton of free throws. The Mavs only shot 18 free throws and made 12 for 66%. The Heat had 33 free throw attempts and only made 20. That could have been the
right.
difference in the game, as Chosen pointed out. I mean, that's a great stat to look at.
That's 13 points. They lost
yeah,
by
no
10.
Doubt about it.
Right, right.
And I chose to stay with us live on the program. Let's go ahead and listen to some comments from Rick Carlisle as he talked about exactly what we're talking about, the bench play from the Dallas Mavericks and how other players had to step up big. And we'll look at their stats as well, too.
It's a team that when you view it from afar, it doesn't look like a physically bruising type team. And so a lot of people don't think we have the grit and the guts and the mental toughness, but this is as mentally tough a team as I've ever been around. And I, you know, I was fortunate to play in the 80s with some great Boston teams. Those guys were mentally tough, but they were those four Hall of Famers on those teams. What these guys were able to do collectively, you know, guys like, you know, Cardinal, Mahimi, you know, Berea. I mean, these guys played major, major roles in an elimination game in a championship series. I mean, you can't dismiss how everybody stayed ready and how everybody answered the bell. So I was just really proud to be around this group. Tony and Sakura?
Rick, congratulations, first of all. From the standpoint of the end justifying the means, the fact that JJ and Jason struggled so much in the first couple of games, and you find yourself down, I guess, 9 in game 4 with 10 minutes to go, just talk about the rallying point of this team. And also, Dirk, well, I guess, 1 for 12 in this first half. What was the mood, you guys being up in spite of that?
We have a saying, Mavericks basketball is 48 minutes. You know, it's not 36, it's not 40, it's 48. And over the course of 48 minutes, you know, we're going to find a way to stay in a game. We're going to find a way to win a game. This team has more resourcefulness and grit and guts than any team I've ever been around. And, you know, game 2 was probably the key to the series. Because you go down 0-2, it's very difficult. So, you know, coming back from that deficit, coming back in game 4 at Oklahoma City, I mean, those are key games, because the Oklahoma City game keeps you from going 6 or 7 games, which is really key. So, and again, it starts with your best players. Jason Kidd, Jason Terry, who was phenomenal tonight. I mean, absolutely, 11 for 16 from the floor, 27 points. I mean, this guy is willing to come off the bench. I mean, I just can't tell you as a coach what it means to have guys that are that committed to winning that they will make those kinds of sacrifices. Tim.
And that was Rick Carlisle talking about what we just talked about, Royce, along with Chosen about the bench play. But you look at the guys he named, Brian Cardinal, John Mahimi, 4 points, Cardinal with 3 points, but Deshaun Stevenson, 9 points, 3 for 5 from the 3-point line, was clutch in that game.
And you know, we didn't see Brian Cardinal, we didn't see Mahimi, and none of these guys in the early part of the playoffs. How important was that to inject those guys in and to sit Pager? You know, I was shocked when he benched Pager, you know, and Pager did contribute, and he gave his first year in the early series. Pager was a man for a while. And you're absolutely right. It was the bench play, how these guys, when their number was called, I always tell you to be ready when your number was called. And boy, were these guys ever ready. I mean, they came out and contributed.
Yeah, great game from the Mavericks bench. We're going to talk about Jason Terry here in our next segment. In the big game, he had 27 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 3 rebounds, a big night for Jason Terry to carry that team where Dirk Nowitzki couldn't buy a shot in the first half. You listen to the RF Sports Radio Show as we crown the Mavericks victorious, the 2011 NBA champions, live with us at RF Sports Radio. We'll be back in just a second.
RF with RF Sports Radio and the NPFL Game of the Week with the Deep End Deal of the Month. The Deep End Deal of the Month is an incredible deal that we offer to all of our listeners of the Deep End Radio Network. And this month, we have our biggest Deep End Deal ever. From now to the end of the month, Just Fitness for You is giving our listeners free gym memberships. That's right, free gym memberships. Spring is here and summer is fast approaching, and Just Fitness for You is ready to get you ready. They have 4 locations here in the DFW Metroplex, White Rock Lake, Mesquite, Plano, and Hearst, and all open 7 days a week to fit anyone's busy schedule. Your free gym membership gives you access to all 4 locations, VIP guest privileges, cycling classes, Zumba classes, body pump 101 training, and use of all of the latest state-of-the-art weightlifting and cardio equipment on the market. To get your free gym membership from Just Fitness for You, email us at deependeal@gmail.com. That's deependeal@gmail.com and put fitness in your subject line to get your free gym membership from Just Fitness for You.
Calling all models. Calling all actors. All music artists. Calling all comedians and producers. I got a question for you. Have you been having trouble finding gigs, and not just gigs, but paid gigs? Well, if that's you, look no further. Okay. We've got the perfect solution for your problem. Go to WeBookGigs.info right now.
Okay.
Sign up and create your profile. And let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get updates about shows and paid gigs sent directly to your personal Twitter, Facebook, email, and your phone. Now, the best thing about WeBookGigs.info is it's absolutely no cost to sign up.
That.
So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. WeBookGigs.info right now.
Right now.
I mean, it's hard for me to talk about. You know, look, there are only two of us that know exactly what this meant. Me and MJ. And, I don't know, sometimes, you know, when it's just, it's better not to say anything. I don't know, yeah.
Hi, my name is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show on Deep End Media. I have a question to all football team owners and players that participate in the sport at this level. Do you play in an amateur league or professional league? Find out the difference by visiting mpflfootball.net.
Our team's not about individual ability. It's about collective will, collective grit, collective guts. And, you know, we're skilled and talented too. But our game's on the ground. And the guys we were playing, you know, their game was in the air. And fortunately, as the series went on, we stayed on the ground enough to be able to win it.
Back right.
Coach, congratulations. We'll follow up on that Dirk thought. He was 1-for-12, 3 points at halftime. You guys went on, I think it was a 25-7 run with him on the bench. It's very unlike you guys in general. Would you tell me I was drinking if I said you were going to lead by halftime? And also, how...
I saw you drinking in the locker room.
I was enjoying the championship with you. But
yeah.
Sir, and also, how much does this mean even more because you have a bunch of older guys with their first title?
Well, look, Miami's time is going to come. I mean, their talent is undeniable. I mean, it's going to, at some point, it's going to carry the day. There's no doubt about that. But their time is not now. Our time is now. It needed to be now. You know, they had a great phrase, you know, now is the time for us. And it was. It had to be. But, you know, the run that we went on with Dirk out of the game, the only thing I can chalk that up to is one word, resourcefulness. And
welcome back to our program. Again, we are live crowning the Mavericks, the NBA, 2011 NBA champions tonight. On our program, a team we've been following all season long. And Royce, you heard some of the comments from Rick Carlisle about what he thought the Mavs were able to do to win this series. But you put together the list of things you thought the Mavs did to win and what the Heat may have done to lose the series also.
Yeah, and Rodney, I thought about this all day today, and I went over it very carefully. And I'm going to start out with the number one reason why the Mavs won, not only this series, but this year. Number one reason was injuries. You know, injuries can absolutely destroy a team. And the way, when Dirk went down, we had Roddy V out, we lost Caron Butler for the whole season. And the way they bounced back, they went on a six-game losing streak. We were worried about this team, everybody counted them out. And they really bounced back. Dirk was able to come back. Roddy V eventually got better. He was out most of the season. And the guy stepped up. The number two reason was how Rick Carlisle brought J.J. Barea along this year. We questioned him a lot of times, why was J.J. playing? But apparently he saw something in J.J. Barea, either in practice or in his demeanor, that we didn't see. And he brought him along slowly this year. He inserted him into games and situations. And when it came time for the playoffs, J.J. Barea was ready to play. And how important was that when he inserted him in the lineup? I'm talking about the Lakers game. I'm talking about in Portland. And they had no defense for J.J. Burrell. My third reason is the zone defense. Very few teams play the zone defense, but the Mavericks stuck with it, even with people criticizing. And the defense they played this year, you know, you talked about earlier this year, the goal was to protect the house, which was talking about American Airlines Center. And they did that, and they improved on defense. My third thing is spacing. It's how they spaced the floor. There was always somebody open for a three. They never deterred from that. They kept that in the repertoire no matter what anybody else did. The Mavericks are probably one of the NBA's best spaced teams in basketball. And the third thing is how Rick Carlisle and how he utilized his bench and the players. Me and you both, and a lot of people in the media, criticized him about how he pulled guys off the bench. But if you watched how he did this series, he was a master at pulling strings, and this game is all about matchups. He did a fantastic job of inserting guys in certain situations at the right time. I got to give him an A for that. So that's my list on why the Dallas Mavericks won. Now, what do you think about that
list? That's a great list. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, all points. I mean, that's a great list. And you're right. I criticized Carlisle a lot this whole season about right. the way he ran that rotation. And it proved out to be he knew what he was doing and I didn't because he was able to really, really get it going. So hats off to him.
You know, and we said, well, why? What kind of, and, you know, we struggled. He needs to get a lineup for the playoffs. You know, we talked about that. You know, we criticized him there. Who's he start? And really, I think he knew all along is everybody's going to start. And when and how he inserted guys, like how important was that him put Brian Cardinal, which hadn't played much, in because he disrupted the whole Miami offense. Don't you agree? And having Stevenson as a starter with his defense, I mean, he just – the guy just really, he did an A1. He out-coached Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
If you think about it, he out-coached Phil Jackson. The Lakers have never been.
He was the best. And you hear Mark Cuban saying that next segment, he was the best coach in the playoffs this season.
Right, right. He should have got coach of the year for what he did with this team of the Mavericks. Okay, let me go on to my list of why, and we can have some callers come in and comment on this. Why Miami lost. You know, when they first made the announcement about him and Bosch.
Let's hold that Miami lost list because we're going to get into the Miami Heat. Let's talk a little bit more about the Mavericks.
Okay.
And I want to talk about Dirk. Dirk winning the MVP. You know, I've been a Dirk supporter for a long time. I've even gone so far at times on this show, on this recorded show, as you can always go back and listen to, I've said things that people told me was crazy, like Dirk being top 10 player or Dirk being an all-time top 10 player in the NBA of all time. And Dirk wins the MVP. How much validation is that for Dirk in his game? This man has been a perennial all-star. He's been an NBA MVP for the season. He's got now a championship ring and MVP also. He's been a three-point champion. I mean, how much validation is this for Dirk and what he was able to do?
Well, Rodney, that was just the icing on the cake, winning the championship. In my mind, he was a great player, and he was a potential Hall of Famer. But you and I both talked about this early in the season. It was something different about Dirk this year. Dirk became a leader of this team. He got on guys back. He even called Jet out. You know, he was a leader of this team. And by him re-signing with Dallas, and he's sticking with Dallas was big. But Dirk Nowitzki, we saw him change this year. He was cooler in interviews. He was more open with people. You know what I mean? He was more focused. It was a different Dirk Nowitzki this year. He became an all-star on the field and off the field.
Yeah, Dirk this year grew up before my eyes. I knew Dirk could always hit the jump shot. I knew he had his move where he would do the fadeaway, the one-leg fadeaway. But it was moves like
playing in the post, like going up, you know, on these taller guys, shooting over them, like dunking on guys, like taking people to the hole, that's the part of Dirk's game that I really felt developed this year. That's something I didn't see in previous years from Dirk, and I knew he was having a special season. I mean, you can go back right now and look at the whole NBA season and put Dirk in MVP. You know, the way he performed in these playoffs, he was clutch. I mean, you look at all the games they had to close out and win, or games they had to come from behind and win, Dirk was right there leading the charge every time.
Well, not only that, he was, fifth, sixth in this year in shooting, you know, in points. So he was in the top 10. So he really had a fantastic year. Even during the regular season, he averaged, 26, 28 points a game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and really, Dirk Nowitzki, he became a leader. I saw him talk to guys. I saw him get on guys. I saw him, you know, shove. I saw him come to guys' rescue when they got in the squabbles. I mean, Dirk really became a leader of this team this year.
And let's go ahead and listen to some comments from Dirk on NBA TV after he won the 2011 NBA Finals MVP.
Hold on to something like that as well.
Well, I just think nothing in life is going to be given to you. Nothing is going to come easy, and you have to work for it. And maybe it was even a good thing for me as a player to develop and lose that series in 06 and come out of it as a better player and as a better human being, be smarter in game situations when the game are on the line. And I took that one really to the chin in 06, and I took it rough, and I put a lot of the blame on myself. So I had to regroup and keep working, and ultimately it paid off.
I know you're not looking for outside validation. You got the trophy, but how rewarding is it for you that even in the games when you didn't shoot as well early in the game, that you were at your best in crunch time in the fourth quarters?
Well, I think that's another thing I learned in 06, you know, that the game is never over. And for this team, I got to keep attacking in the fourth quarters. The whole team usually looks at me and expects me to come through. So, I just got to keep attacking. My team always say, hey, you know, you're too good of a shooter, too good of a player to keep missing. Even today, I had a bad night, but everybody, I think that was the strength of this team. We were so tight-knit, a lot of experienced guys that had been through a lot, and we just kept patting each other on the back and said, let's get it done, and finally we were able to make some shots.
Is that finger well enough to sell?
To the point of cartoonish, where you're saying the same things over again, we're going to get it turned around. Was that at all difficult for you to maintain that? And secondly, most series, you're probably the MVP. Clearly Dirk is, but I just want you to comment on, his greatness as a and in turn, what you were able to do to turn around the series.
My faith first is in God. And then with that comes a confidence, knowing that you can be successful when you play with guys like we have on this team. You look at what Dirk was able to accomplish this postseason. He played like none other. The year he won MVP doesn't even compare to what he did this year in the postseason. All the critics talked about what he couldn't do, where he fell short. But to carry this team the way he's done, it is just phenomenal. I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, you live with the finals failure from 5 years ago for those last 5 years. What does this mean for you personally to finally finish the job, and what does your individual performance mean considering how much you've thought of that game six from 5 years ago over these years?
Well, going in, we never used 05, 06 as a motivating factor. Two different, totally different teams. I mean, you look at what we did along the way, along our journey, getting past Portland. Nobody said we could. Doing what we did to the Lakers. We just continue to grind it out, believe in each other, and show huge resiliency in every time we stepped on the court. And I thought in this series, there was a time and a situation where there was a turning point. That was in game two. Down 15, we all looked at each other, and we continued to believe. And we win that game, and the rest is history.
And that was both Dirk talking about how important he felt it was that they lost that series, what it taught him as a player, what they had to do in the playoffs, and also Jed Terry commenting on Dirk and the season that he's had as well, too. And Royce, Dirk, well-deserving of the MVP, well-deserved all the credit he's getting. But let's talk about some other veterans on that team, Jed Terry and Jason Kidd.
Well, man, I was really happy for Jed Terry. You know, he's taken a lot of criticism But the guy has always been consistent, and I've always considered him a mat. You know, he's always, a couple of times he was disappointed, but, you know, the guy's consistent, you know, and he was labeled Mr. Fourth Quarter this year. And I'm also happy for Jason Kidd. I was so glad he returned to Dallas where he started his career, and for him to go through the journey he went through with other teams coming close, and to come back to Dallas where it all started and win a championship, you know, took a long time. And what a way to end your career, man. I mean, it's just great. I'm just happy for them and really the rest of the guys. You know, guys like Roddy B that played in France, you know, guys like Stevenson that were on, you know, different teams. Brian Cardinal, who was sitting at home. Peter Cipriani, you know, you got to be happy for you really do have to be happy for this group of misfits, and I call them misfits.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy. Even, and you're right, the misfit comment is fitting because even Donnie Nelson told us one time they're kind of like a team comprised from the island of misfits, using the Rudolph reference to the cartoon. And these are players that have been on several different teams or other teams that have gotten close to the kind of long in the tooth in some cases, and they come together for one common goal, the title. And Jason Kidd, this validates him a lot as well, too. The guy's already won on the international stage. He's had such a great career. He was a rookie of the year, co-rookie of the year with Grant Hill. And it kind of validates his career also, too, by getting that ring. So congratulations to Jason Kidd and everything he was able to do. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got to get into some comments that Mark Cuban made. And now that the Muslims off of Cuban, he's saying a lot of stuff.
He's
so we got to talk about that.
He's still talking.
And then, of course, we still got to get to the Miami Heat. We'll play comments from them, both LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. We get into your reasons why the Miami Heat lost this series as well, too. And we'll end the show off with our congratulations for the Mavs and talking about the offseason. Stay tuned. Stay locked in with us, rfsportsradio.com. You're tuned into the RF Sports Radio Show powered by Deep End Media. Sports talk from a fan's perspective.
Oh, yeah, the wait is finally over. The new release from Rifleman, Smoke in the City, available now. Album features Flow Fly, Mayhem, Kenfolk Jack, and the Grit Boys, with many, many other. Also features production from super producer, none other than Big Chris. Available now at all of your favorite online retailers, iTunes, Amazon, Napster, Rhapsody, 7 Digital, E-Music, and every other major online retailer that you can think of. Don't wait, go pick up Smoke in the City now. It's blazing, it's blazing.
This is RF with the RF Sports Radio Show. Do you have a business, a product, a service, or a website, and you need more customers? Advertise with the fastest growing internet sports radio show and market your business to sports fans worldwide. Don't miss a unique opportunity to capitalize on the biggest marketing genre in the world. Email me at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. That's rfsportsradio@gmail.com. We have options for every budget, and don't let business pass you by.
When I got to the lane, Robert Parrish jumped at me, and I saw Larry Bird coming at me as well. So I had to arc the hook shot a little higher, and you just went, swish. Was that the sweetest shot for you in your whole career? In my whole career, the sweetest, not only shot, but the sweetest moment, because the guard went,
my name is Royce Fisher from the RS Sports Radio Show on Deep End Media. I have a question to all football team owners and players that participate in the sport at this level. Do you play in amateur league or professional league? Find out the difference by visiting mpflfootball.net.
It's RS Sports Show.
RS Sports Show. Talking sports.
Yeah, he's playing excellent in the playoffs, and Dirk is unguardable. We said that on our previous shows leading up to this Mavs game, and he really presented it tonight, 24 points tonight. And when they come back to Dallas, he's even better at home, much better than he is on the road. So we're definitely going to see a lot more from Dirk in this series. He's really going to be the one, I think, to push his team over the hump. I said a lot about the Mavs, and didn't really think they're going to win this game, but they showed me something tonight. I mean, I like the way this team's playing right now.
Talking sports.
From a fan's perspective.
Mondays, right after Saturday Night Lights, and Wednesdays, right after the breakdown, right here on Deep End Radio. DeepEndMedia.net and RFSportsRadio.com.
Go, man. You go to Reunion Arena. Right. You know, you see that. Not the best arena. No. You're in Dallas. It's a football town. I mean, football. I don't even know if you have pickup games there. You decide to buy this team. You know, maybe people don't believe in you. You're on the side of the bench. You act real crazy. You love cheering for your team. People say, I don't know. And I had a talk with you last year, and you just kept saying it was passion. I'm going to keep on working. This is what I did in college. And how does it feel right now from then? From then, Reunion Arena. Building the arena, getting all these people. I mean, I've never, you've never seen this many fans in a away arena.
How crazy
with
the balls out here.
Yeah. So you must be proud.
Great turnout.
Let me just tell you something. You know, we won the championship. The Heat are a great team. The Heat are going to have many, many opportunities. They've got all the pieces that they need. But our fans punked the hell out of the Miami fans. It wasn't close. We punked the hell out of them. I mean, we're sitting there at the bench and they're going, let's go, Mavs. Let's go. I mean,
remember what we talked about before game one? Remember what you told me about the fans?
Which?
And we were talking about you down warming up. You're like,
Oh, yeah, yeah. It felt like a regular season game.
Yeah.
Like a regular season game. Look, Miami's a great town. It's a fun town. It is what it is. But, our, you know, people give our fans a hard time, too, you know. But our fans just stepped up and took over, and the fact that they came down here made a huge difference because our guys are on the bench and it felt like a home game, right? Our guys are going nuts, our fans are going nuts, and they're cheering, and you know, their faces, familiar faces. So I give a lot of credit to our fans.
You've been around the team a long time now, as has Dirk Nowitzki. Terry's been there a while. Jason Kidd has been there a while. Looking back over time, is there one either piece that was added or development along the way that's most responsible for you being soaked right now?
I'd say there's a couple things. One is guys started – we had a Jason Kidd, right, and we went through a process of bringing in Rick Carlisle, and then guys started to understand if we trusted the system and executed that because all the guys knew how to play basketball, good things would happen. And, you know, when no one was selfish, when the ball needed to move, the ball moved. When someone needed to hit an open shot, they hit an open shot. When someone needed to make a big play, we made a big play. And that just develops trust. And we went through, you know, Dirk got hurt. My guy Caron is out for the season.
Roddy
Bublan
missed Roddy, the entire season.
And so, you know, I think guys learning to trust each other and realizing guys will step up a big time, learning to trust Rick Carlisle as we got, you know, I think you asked the question, what was the transition point? I think guys haven't been with Rick long enough to trust him, right? Because that's part of the process with the coach. You've got to get to, you know, particularly veteran players. They'll doubt, they'll ask, you know, they have their own opinions. And then they got to the point this year where they trusted. And then it was, and then we got to the playoffs. Let me just say, Rick Carlisle was the best coach in the playoffs by far. No ifs, ands, or buts.
What did you tell your team? You know, character is built when no one's looking. So
exactly.
We see you're happy right now, but we know you had some dark days by yourself when you're thinking, what could I do? What did you tell your team in 2006, was it, when you guys lost here? What did you tell them to keep the course right now? What did you tell your staff, everyone?
You didn't, right? There's nothing you could say. You know, we know we let one get away, and you just got to hope, like you said, you know, character doesn't happen when you win. It's when you lose, right? And guys like Dirk are character guys. You know, bringing in Jason Kidd, you know, a guy who can take control of the game and make sure the ball goes where it needs to go, you know, taking out, you know, some of the egos because he'll just take over that part of the game. That, you know, that's what happened. I didn't have to say anything. I mean, Dirk's a beast. He wanted it.
I want to know how you're going to spend the summer.
Sleeping. I haven't been able to sleep in a long time. You know, I just hang out with the kids, probably go to the Cayman Islands and just chill, you know. People think I'm going to go do something crazy.
You are.
Just tonight.
RF Sports Radio, and we are back with our 2011 NBA wrap-up show, wrapping up the Mavericks winning the crown the NBA champions for 2011. Royce, you heard some of the comments from Mark Cuban. You heard him talk about fans, punking fans, and how they felt like it was almost a regular season game. In that environment in Game 6 in Miami, there were a lot of Maverick fans there. You can see that on TV. You can see that right inside of the arena as well, too. But he went on to also talk about some key things. He talked about how he put this team together, players trusting Rick Carlisle, no matter what they may have thought about when he first came. He also talked about, you know, them forgetting about 2006 and moving forward to win in 2011.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Mark Cuban. Now, how big is it to go from a season ticket holder to owner of a team? So, first and foremost, he was a fan of the Mavericks and of the game. And for him, and I will say this, he did everything in his power to make this team. I remember when he got Dennis Rodman, he was a Maverick for a while. And, you know, and he got another guy. And this year, he was less vocal. He let the team do the talking. He stayed behind the scenes, something that Jerry could take a lesson from. And now that they are on top, I'm going to crown them that they are the new America's team.
Mm.
You know, they used to call the Cowboys America's team. I think the Mavericks are now going to become America's team.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then the other thing he went on to say, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk about, he says he might not do the traditional rings.
Yeah,
most NBA teams try to do. So if he's not going to do traditional rings, what can we think that he's going to do, you know, to celebrate his win for the Mavericks?
I think it's two things. He's going to go with the gold chain, because if you think about it, that's just generation. And he got a lot of guys on the Mavericks team that, you know, that into that kind of stuff, hip-hop world, you know, young guys. And we've seen him dress, and there's no telling what he want to do. But, you know, Rodney, you and I were behind the scenes. This is one-class organization. I will get into that. I'm talking about from the lowest people, the ball boys, all the way up to the top. It is one-class organization. If anybody deserved it, they did it, and they did it the right way. They didn't go out and get all these superstars. You know, they did it the right way, and you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, they did it the right way. I'm thinking what Cuban may do is watches. You know, I thought about the gold chain thing.
Right.
I thought, you know, that'd be kind of cool. But I think he's going to do the watches. I think that's what he's going to go with.
Yeah, a diamond watch, you can show off that too, just like you can a diamond ring. But, you know, I was surprised when he said that, you know what I mean? And he's always been a pioneer for the league and the NBA and the team. And I'm not surprised. I mean, he may start a new tradition. Yeah, he said it, you know. So who knows?
And again, we wanted to thank Mark Cuban for allowing us to be a part of this season. This is our first season covering the Mavs and all their games on the road, at home, in the locker room with the teams, interviewing him. He's been on our show before as well. I want to thank Mark Cuban for allowing us to have this opportunity, and thank the Mavs media staff, Scott Tomlin, initially, for allowing us to be involved with it. I thank him so much for adding to the show. It's been a huge help for us. Let's take a break, Royce. You come back, we're talking about the Heat, the losers of the championship, the hype around the Heat, and we'll hear your list of why the Heat actually lost this series. You're tuned in to the RF Sports Radio Show, sports talk from a fan's perspective, rfsportsradio.com.
Duncan hits this crazy shot, put this first in about one. We all thought it was over. I mean, there was only 0.4 seconds left. What could you do in 0.4 seconds, huh? This. Fish gets the inbound. He releases, right? I'm spinning. I see fish. I see the rim. Fish, rim, fish, rim, fishy rim. Next thing you know, I'm 2 points. And the place goes.
What's up out there with it, world?
What's up with
it? It's your boy Chosen. Man, and I'm back in the building, you dig? And for all of y'all that haven't already done it, you know what I'm saying? Go out there and join IcebreakerProductions.com right now. Support your favorite ICE artist right now. You know what I'm saying? Get a ringtone, get a t-shirt, buy the calendar right now. Or you can even pick up a teddy bear. You know what I'm talking about? We got everything.
Got everything.
every Wednesday. Y'all need to be checking out the Icebreaker Radio Show at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
7 p.m.
When you hear it, IcebreakerProductions.com. You know what I'm saying? Scroll down to about the middle of the page and click on the player, and you got us. You know what I'm saying? And if that ain't working for you, hop on iTunes and listen to us on the podcast. I ain't tripping. You know, you can get us on anywhere. And if you really want to know what's going down at all times with Icebreaker Productions, you got to follow us on Twitter at Icebreaker Radio. And if you're a Facebook lover, hit us up, Icebreaker Productions. You know what they do. And for all of y'all that like them live, fresh videos, you know you can follow us on the YouTube channel, Chosen 972.
Right now.
You still in the old school, and you know what I'm saying, you still on MySpace, hit us up, 972. We ain't tripping. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hop into this album, the reason that you're hearing my voice.
Uh-huh.
You like one of these artists, you know what I'm saying? So get your jam on, get your lean on.
Yeah.
And I'll be back at you later on in the future with more ICE announcements. Already.
Tomorrow, mankind will know that mutants exist. There's a war coming.
This society won't accept us. We form our own.
Who's with me?
LeBron. I think LeBron's a great player. I think he's really a great player, but I think there's something about him. It's just something that is his mission from his game. It's like he can do everything, but just can't do enough. Career-wise, Melo's averaging 24.8 points a game. LeBron's averaging 27.7. But you know, this year they're about even. Melo's averaging 25. LeBron's averaging 26. Career-wise, they're rebounding.
Talking the hottest sports topics.
With appearances from the hottest names in sports.
NBA, college basketball, NFL, Major League Baseball. Log on to rfsportsradio.com. RF Sports, powered by
Ooh Radio.
And this series, or was there something, for whatever reason, over these 2 weeks that was not there? Of his usual, say, greatness.
Well, tonight they went to the zone, obviously, late in the first quarter, and that took us out of our rhythm. We were in a very good flow, and that's what they do. They don't stay in the zone very long, but it's enough to get you a little bit out of your rhythm, out of your comfort zone, and by the time they come back in demand, we've lost some possessions. And so where he was able to be aggressive, the zone took him out of that. But he was still trying to make an impact, and ultimately you do have to give Dallas some credit.
Mark? Eric, if you saw LeBron, of course you did in the last series, and you see him in this series, you wouldn't think it's the same guy. I mean, with everything you were just talking about, there's gaps out there, and he's not jumping into them. When he does jump into them, he goes to the first level, you know, makes a pass, just wasn't getting to the hoop. The free throws tell the story.
Each series is different. One thing, I've said this many times, and certainly I can say to you all out there, it's a lot easier said than done. And you do have to give credit to the Mavericks. You know, they weren't known or given enough credit this season as a defensive team, but they're much improved. And so they were able to do some things that you know, got us out of our rhythm, certainly from the first three rounds. You know, LeBron has been a lightning rod for a lot of everything, criticism, and
I don't know.
Tim Legler with us. Thanks for joining us. You've got some work to do.
Classy with things you said to him, and he said he could hear some of the things you were saying to each other, even on the court. What were you guys talking about as you left and then in the room afterward?
I really don't remember. I mean, all I remember was telling those guys that, you know, they deserve it. Hands down, they were the better team in the series. And they played together well. You know, they deserve everything they've gotten. So it was just really just congratulating them and just moving on.
Third row in the center.
Chris, this team was built, this Heat team was built to win a championship, believed to be the best team in the league all year. Why did you guys fall short? Why were they the better team?
Well, I think if you just look at it as far as playing the better series, they just played the best basketball. Dirk constantly knocked down open shots. Today he showed a lot of perseverance and just bouncing back. And, I mean, they made our defense work at the end of the day. And they're just a great team. I think we did everything we could to win. We made a lot of mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes. But at the end of the day, they came out on top. So, all we can do is just admit it and move forward.
Over here, Neil. Chris, to the best of your knowledge, physically, mentally, emotionally, was anything off with LeBron? Was he himself this series?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, man, you always want to play your best basketball at the most opportunistic time, but it just doesn't work out like that. I mean, everything mentally and physically was good. I think with every individual, with the team, I mean, physically, everybody's going to go through pain. They've done the same thing. They wanted it more than we did. So they played great. We came up short, and that's really it.
Over on the left side. Chris, you talk about how they played better than you and that they played together. You always bring that up. Do you feel like your team didn't play together?
We played together. They just did a better job. They were the better team. That's what I mean by that. There's no hiding. In the NBA, you play a series, best of seven games. Usually the better team is going to win. So, we've got a lot of work to do. We have to go back to the drawing board. It hurts to come this far and come up short. But, it's disappointing. But hopefully we can use this for motivation going forward.
Back left.
Chris, was there a certain point in all there that you felt like this game is kind of a starting got away for guys?
I mean, you never feel that way. You always play the game out. You just play the game how it goes. Plenty of times they were down. They came back. We were down. We came back. It's always a game of runs. But, today, they just had that whole collective effort. They had timely shots. They had timely offensive rebounds. They never got flustered. They just kept their composure and kept coming in ways. And when it was time, they just stayed tight and they executed very well. And when things broke down, Jason Terry, Dirk Nowitzki, and Jason Kidd, they hurt us with their shots.
How do you think the LeBrons play out there tonight?
And that was Chris Bosh here on the RF Sports Radio Show talking about the Miami Heat not being able to put it together, a team that was kind of destined to win this whole thing. So we got to spend some time on that. Let me bring Royce back on. And if you guys want to hear these interviews or see any other information about this series, about the whole NBA or anything in sports, log on to rfsportsradio.com. Royce, you're going to be putting your list up there as well, too. But go ahead with your list on why the Miami Heat lost this series.
Well, first, right now, I'm not going to get on LeBron James like everybody else did. I'm going to give the Mavericks some credit. So not to knock what they did, I'm going to give the Mavericks the credit on why they won, first of all. And the first thing, LeBron first decided to go to Miami, first question everybody wanted to know was, they don't have anybody else yet. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James. And no supporting cast, no bench. They had Eric Dampier, Mike Bibby, James Jones, and I can't name anybody else. And Chalmers. And after that, I can't name anybody else. So first and foremost, they had three guys in place, but they had no supporting cast. And we all said, we all thought they were going to make a trade to get somebody. But they really didn't have anybody come off the bench. Second thing is, you had a first-year coach going to the playoffs. That's first-time coaching the playoffs. It's different from coaching regular season than it is coaching the playoffs. You either win or go home. The third thing I had was that first year playing as a team. Each one of these, the big three, were all leaders on their team. LeBron James was the leading scorer. That was his team, the Cavaliers. Chris Bosh was in Toronto. That was his team. He was the go-to man. And in Miami, you had Dwayne Wade. They never established the fact that whose team it was. We all would say it was Dwayne Wade's team, but at the same time, you had two different guys that were leaders also. I don't think they really adjusted to their roles. And any time you have your three guys producing 60% of your offense and you're not getting 40% of your bench, you don't have 100%. Or say, for instance, one of the guys falls short of the 3 or 6%, then you only have 40% offense and you don't have the bench to pick up the other 60% to already have 100%. So that was one of their problems. And the third reason was Rick Carlisle out-coached Spoelstra in the playoffs. I mean, he did a brilliant job. I think they waited too late to make adjustments. He really didn't. They played LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh played a lot of minutes. He couldn't balance the minutes. And I think they were our coach. So those are my reasons why Miami lost. And the Mavericks just happened to be the best team in the NBA right now. So those are my reasons.
You're right. Yeah, that was the perfect reasons. And one thing I want to touch on that you said is, the way they put this team together, they had three superstars. They had LeBron with the big press conference, him putting so much pressure on them, himself and as a team, saying they're going to win multiple championships. They had the big press conference at the arena, the big WWE type with the laser light show, the smoke, the dancers welcoming this team in. So much pressure put on them, but you have to put a team together. This proves one thing about the NBA and about anything, a real team, would outplay an individual any day or a group of individuals.
I've been saying
earlier this season about the Heat, why I wasn't picking them to win, was the fact that I didn't think they had enough firepower coming out the bench, and they couldn't get enough guys to play with them for the league minimum.
Right.
And I think it was kind of, Pat Riley did a great thing, having him and his team come together, these three superstars, but they didn't have the full roster, the full team. And the other thing that you said I think was key was Eric Spoelstra, first-year coach, having to put up with all three of these superstars, put up with players coming off the bench that really, and not knowing how to use them, and players that couldn't come off the bench, and he was overmatched. He was purely overmatched. You mentioned Carlisle out coaching Phil Jackson. It was kind of easy to out coach Coach Spoelstra, am I right?
That's right. You're absolutely right. And the other thing was, this team, if you look at the bench, go down the line, why wouldn't you put James Jones in the game? I mean, the guy won a 3-point shooting contest. He didn't play at all in this series. That's 12, 14 points off the bench. And Mario Chambers was your best guard. Bibby didn't give you anything. Dan Pierre never came in to give a guy the center break. I mean, it was just awful coaching. I thought so. And the reason why they got through the first series, if you think about it, when they played Boston was wounded.
Yeah.
You know, Rondo was playing with one arm. They actually, I played them, even though, and Shaq was hurt, so they really played a depleted Boston team. When they played Chicago, it was 3-1. And Derrick Rose was it. You know, but when they got to the Mavericks, it was 3-8. You know, and that was a big difference. So they really didn't have anything to go with. But like I say, when you got three guys on your team giving you 60-70% of the offense, and you can't get 30% or 40% from the bench, you know, 8 out of 10 times you're going to lose when one of those guys are off. And another reason why I think they lost, I don't think Chris Bosh got the ball enough. Because if you think the Mavericks had no defense for Chris Bosh. Basically, every time Chris Bosh touched the ball, he scored. And they didn't get the ball to Chris Bosh, even in the last 5 minutes of the game. You know, in one game he did hit the winning shot. But the last 5 minutes, I mean, where was Chris Bosh? You know, why weren't they going inside? Chandler was in foul trouble. They had Mahimi. You know, I don't understand it.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, I said before, game six, that if they want to win, they got to feed Bosh the ball. I mean, Bosh was the one creating a lot of matchup problems because he could shoot from the perimeter and play down low. And
he's the most consistent.
And you talk about coaching, the fact that when the Miami Heat set up in the half court, they had nothing to run. They're trying to pass the ball. They're trying to give it up. LeBron's not being aggressive. D-Wade is trying to be aggressive but can't do enough by himself, doesn't have a jumper. LeBron's jumper's not falling. And they had no half court set for their offense. And we can't talk about the Miami Heat without mentioning their two star players, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. LeBron, the as you said, as you heard Spoelstra say, the lightning rod for so much criticism, not just throughout his career, but especially this season. This guy went from the next big thing to the villain in the room. And the fact that he went through this whole thing of I'm bringing my talents to South Beach, he goes through the playoffs, he plays big in the first couple of rounds, gets to win it all in this chance in the championship, in the finals, and his null and void doesn't do anything in this series. So, I mean, we can criticize LeBron, I think.
Well, you know, and he can't take a lot of it. He could have probably been more aggressive. But, you know, at the same time, the people overlook the fact that the way Dallas played him, you know, Chicago didn't play him this way. Well, they didn't leave, put three guys every time he touched the ball. You always saw somebody run it. They took the ball out of LeBron James' hand. He did not get good shots. And I credit that to the Mavericks because at times, even when he came to the paint, they set up a wall. And the thing was, they were not going to let LeBron James beat. So I do have to credit the Dallas defense with a lot of change in the way they played LeBron James. They didn't play him like anybody else did in the playoffs.
And let's listen to what LeBron had to say about his critics in this finals, and also the critics that have been talking about him this whole season. Up and down, a tumultuous season for LeBron James, ending without another ring.
Well, under pressure.
Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. And, that was this case in this series. I was able to do things in the last two series to help us win ball games. Wasn't able to do that in this series. Once you get to the playoffs, every game is pressure. You want to win, you have to win. We've seen some of that in the Chicago series. We've seen some of that in the Boston series. And even though we lost game four, in Philly, it's pressure in that series as well. So it doesn't matter which round it is. Once you get to the postseason, every possession counts.
Rachel?
LeBron, what in this finals round were you personally unable to do that you wanted to do?
Live in the paint. They did a great job of every time I drove, they brought another extra defender in front of me. They did a great job defensively. Very underrated defensive team. Took me out of a lot of things that I'm, capable of doing or used to doing. They took us out of a lot of things that we're capable of doing, and that's getting points in the paint, that's getting to the free throw line. So they did a good job. Much respect to them.
And considering all that you went through this past summer and all the effort you made to get here to specifically win a championship, what are your emotions about losing the finals now?
It hurts, of course. I'm not going to hang my head low. I know how much work as a team we put into it. I know how much work individually that I put into it when you guys are not around. That's something people don't see, and I think you can never hang your head low when you know how much work, how much dedication that you put into the game of basketball, when the lights are off and the cameras are not on.
Mahoney, back left.
LeBron, obviously you've dealt with so much criticism for the last year that had all to do with basketball. When you're getting criticized for what's happening on the court, does that bother you?
No, that doesn't bother me either. I understand this is a huge stage, and when you want to perform well, not for nobody else besides your teammates. And that's ultimately what it's about for me. If I can play well for my teammates, help my teammates win basketball games, then I'm always satisfied with that. It hurts me, and I get on myself when I'm not able to play well and help my teammates win.
Does it bother you that so many people
are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, you know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, they got to get back to the real world at some point.
Standing in the back right.
And that was LeBron James, his comments about the criticism he's been receiving in this series and also for the year. And people, you know, those that listen to our show have been listening to it all NBA season, know I have some choice words at times for LeBron and his game. People have even gone so far to call me a LeBron hater in a lot of situations.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, LeBron, if you were talking to me, let me just say my life will go on and I'm still going to have problems with your game. I'm still going to be critical about what you do as a player on and off the field, the way you conduct yourself with your teammates. You say you want to play for them, but you're not able to step up when it's time to step up. This is something that you've been plagued with throughout your entire career. You can go back to your finals appearance against the Spurs when you got swept. You can go back to last year when you got beat by the Boston Celtics, even the year before when you got beat by the Orlando Magic. You've got to start stepping up and playing big in big games. You can't keep passing the ball in the fourth quarter. You can't keep calling yourself King James and run from the ball. You can't continue to be the face of the NBA and not willing to take the last second shot or put the team on your back. I'm going to continue to criticize you until you change your name from King James to LeBron James and start being a player in the NBA. But until then, my life will go on, and I continue to criticize you as well.
Well, first off, the media and all the hype gave him the name King James. And I think
well,
another
thing
is just...
King James.
Yeah.
He calls
well,
himself
I know,
King
James. But I understand, but that label was also given to him as a, you know, when he was a youngster. But having said that, and we know all the talk about LeBron James, he has fallen short. And, you know, it's going to take some growing up. It's a lot of his game he needs to develop. He never did develop. You know, like Dirk was just a jump shooter. He deserved how to do it. He needs to be a post-up player. Having said that, they added more fuel to the fire by their cockiness. And I think that's another thing that turned people off about LeBron James is his cockiness. His cockiness about the announcement. His cockiness to lead the team. And I can understand Cleveland fans for hating him for one reason and one reason only. The man had a right to go anywhere else. But if Dirk Nowitzki left the Dallas Mavericks and the first year he left, he reached the NBA Finals and possibly win a championship for another team, I would be pissed off too. That is the reason I can see why Cleveland fans should be pissed. I mean, because the first year he left them, here he is again in the NBA Finals, going to win a championship for the Miami Heat. That would make anybody furious. You know, think about it.
And you talk about Cleveland. Let's talk about that real briefly before we get into Dwayne Wade and the fact that Dan Gilbert, the owner for the Cleveland Cavaliers, tweeted immediately following the game. And to paraphrase what he said, he says, there's no shortcuts to winning. There are none. You can't just make your own way to winning the path. You got to stay the course. And you brought up something to my attention about the governor of Ohio commending Dirk for being a player that stayed with his team and won a championship.
Yeah, well, I would say this to the Cleveland owner and the Cleveland fans. Y'all need to stop worrying about LeBron James. Y'all got the first and the fourth pick. You need to worry about what kind of team are you all going to have now. That would be what I'd be worried about. I could care less about LeBron James if I was a Cleveland Brown fan. My thing now would be, what do we do now? You got the first and the fourth pick. What kind of team are you going to put together? What am I going to see out there on the floor this year? How are we going to get back to being a championship team? That's what Cleveland, the owner, and the fans need to worry about now. LeBron James is gone. He's history.
Yeah, you're right. And this is what Dwayne Wade had to say after the loss in the NBA Finals.
For LeBron and D-Wade, same thing. You guys were favored to win the series. You're expected to win tonight. I'm sure you guys expected to win. It's an overused word, and I don't mean this in any disrespect. I want to know your feelings. Do you feel you choked in this series?
Both. Well, first of all, we give credit to the Dallas Mavericks. They're a hell of a team. You know, the word choked is overused in sports, you know, period. We lost ball games. We lost the finals. We ran into a team that at this time obviously was better than us. So we give them credit, and we take nothing away from that.
LeBron, with all the pressure, the criticism, the expectations, did it ever get to a point where it just weighed heavy and affected you in any way?
I don't think so. I mean, I pretty much don't listen to what everyone has to say about me or my game or what I've done for my career. I don't get involved in that. I mean, this is year after year after year for me. Me as an individual, people write or say what they want to say about me. It doesn't weigh on me at all. You know, like I said, the only thing that weighs on me is when I don't perform well for my teammates and the guys that I play for every day. That's the only thing that weighs on me, because I take pride in going out there and doing the things that need to be done to help my teammates win. That's it.
And I have to agree with what Dwayne Wade said, Royce. I don't think
Absolutely.
The Miami Heat choked. I mean, I think they ran into a better team.
Yeah, and, you know, absolutely. And we always said, even in football and any sport, you take what the defense gives you. If the defense don't give you nothing, there's nothing to take, you know. And the way I look at it, I'm going to give more credit to the Mavs, because if you look at it, they played three great teams. They shut down Kobe Bryant. You know, they shut down Westbrook, you know.
Kevin Durant.
I mean, you know, give some – I'm not – they'll say so much they choke, but like I said, the game is what the defense gives you, and that's the way the Mavericks played. But at the same time, big players play in big-time games. He's not Michael Jordan. I quit putting the comparison. He's not Kobe Bryant. You know, he's who he is. And this team will go on to win a championship as soon as they get a supporting cast. You know, I do see him. But Michael Jordan didn't win he was 27 when he won a championship. Took Dirk 13 years to win a championship. He's been good. So he will win one eventually, but I understand Cleveland fans being mad. I'm not going to be bad. I'm going to give more credit to the Mavericks. The Mavericks played a perfect series. It didn't matter who they played. If they played Boston, they would have won.
Yeah, and while we're talking about the Heat, if you listen to us live online right now, give us a call if you have a comment about this series and about the NBA in general, 323-927-2906. Before we get off the Heat, I want to ask you just about what you said about the offseason and what the Miami Heat have to do at this point to get back to the NBA Finals and what adjustments they got to make on their team. A lot of the players they have sitting on the bench, and they brought in a one-and-done players. I mean,
oh,
we
yeah.
know they don't
sure.
have any draft picks.
We saw Juwan Howard, man. Come on. Juwan
right,
Howard.
So what did the Miami Heat have to do in the offseason? What do they need to put the concentration on? I think they definitely have to get some role players that actually want to play their role and a little bit younger than Juwan Howard, Eric Dampier,
right.
Jamal McGlure.
Right. Well, first they got to lure some players to Miami, which I think wouldn't be a problem. Clean house, get some supporting cast, and in the offseason, LeBron needs to learn how to be the guy's almost 7 foot almost. He needs to learn how to be a post up player. That's one part of the game he's really never had. He plays fast. He plays off what the defense gives him. They don't have plays run for him. For none of them, and I think they need to work on just skills, like kid working on his jump shot. You know, you have to improve in all areas of the game. You know, so they need to do that. They need to learn how to play better as a team. And I don't know if Spoelstra's going to be there this year. I don't know if he's going to be the man to coach these guys. So we may see a coaching change a couple of years down the line if they don't win one. But I look for this team to go back to the playoffs. I mean, look, it depends on New York and how they play. And I think Boston's kind of old. And Chicago needs help, too. So they're really it's still going to be kind of easy in the East. I still say the West is the harder division.
But don't you think, and this is my opinion, I think that what the Mavericks did was help out the entire Eastern Conference. They played zone against the Miami Heat, and it worked.
They kind of
laid out the blueprint for other teams to beat the Miami Heat. I think they're going to forever have a problem on their team because they're not going to be able to bring in good enough players to play with these three. I mean, they can't make it work. You know, it's going to be – someone's going to have to take a huge pay cut to come and help this team win. It's going to take a fourth player to make this team win because I see them having the same problem next year unless they get some better help for those three guys. And I think they definitely have to make a coaching change. Eric Spoelstra, a young coach. I can't pass judgment on him based on one season.
Right.
I can only say what I saw in the NBA Finals. He was our coach.
Right.
He seemed like he was over his head a lot of times and didn't make the right adjustments. And he's going to have to work on his craft in the offseason, too. But I think this team's going to have the same problem next season because they just can't bring in enough players to really make it work.
Well, they need to resign Chalmers. He's a free agent this year. Definitely get him back. And they need somebody. They need a knockdown shooter. Eddie House wasn't a man, and I didn't see him come in a lot. And when he was in, he did knock down a couple of threes. But they don't have anybody to spread the floor. You concentrate on those three players, you can stop the Miami Heat. And they got to address that problem too. You know, so they got a lot to do this offseason and learn to play as a team. If anybody learned anything this year from the blueprint of the map, it's to play as a team. I mean, they did it. They didn't have no big three. Well, I would say they did have a big three, but they weren't as big as the ones out there now. But they played as a team. They had contribution, and the bench was the biggest difference of the Dallas Mavericks this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's take a quick break, and when we wrap up our show, we'll talk about the Mavs. We'll give our final congratulations. We'll be taking you guys' calls as well, too. Give us a call. Go ahead and line up 323-927-2906. We welcome everyone in our chat room as well that's tuned in right now. We'll talk about the Mavs and congratulate them and talk about what they need to do in the offseason as well, too. You're tuned in to the RF Sports Radio Show, where it's sports talk from a fan's perspective, rfsportsradio.com.
RF with RF Sports Radio and the NPFL Game of the Week with the Deep End Deal of the Month. The Deep End Deal of the Month is an incredible deal that we offer to all of our listeners of the Deep End Radio Network. And this month, we have our biggest Deep End Deal ever. From now to the end of the month, Just Fitness for You is giving our listeners free gym memberships. That's right, free gym memberships. Spring is here and summer is fast approaching, and Just Fitness for You is ready to get you ready. They have four locations here in the DFW Metroplex, White Rock Lake, Mesquite, Plano, and Hearst, and all open 7 days a week to fit anyone's busy schedule. Your free gym membership gives you access to all four locations, VIP guest privileges, cycling classes, Zumba classes, body pump 101 training, and use of all of the latest state-of-the-art weightlifting and cardio equipment on the market. To get your free gym membership from Just Fitness for You, email us at deependeal@gmail.com. That's deependeal@gmail.com and put fitness in your subject line to get your free gym membership from Just Fitness for You.
Calling all models, calling all actors, all music artists, calling all comedians and producers. I got a question for you. Have you been having trouble finding gigs, and not just gigs, but paid gigs? Well, if that's you, look no further. Okay. We've got the perfect solution for your problem. Go to WeBookGigs.info right now.
Okay.
Sign up and create your profile. And let me tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get updates about shows and paid gigs sent directly to your personal Twitter, Facebook, email, and your phone. Now, the best thing about WeBookGigs.info is it's absolutely no cost to sign up. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. WeBookGigs.info right now. Right now.
Hey, this is Woody B from the Dallas Mavericks, and you listen to our sports radio.
It's RF Sports Show.
RF Sports Show.
Talking sports.
Yeah, he's playing excellent in the playoffs, and Dirk is unguardable. We said that on our previous shows leading up to this Mavs game, and he really presented it tonight, 24 points tonight. And when they come back to Dallas, he's even better at home, much better than he is on the road. So we're definitely going to see a lot more from Dirk in this series. He's really going to be the one, I think, to push his team over the hump. I said a lot about the Mavs, that they didn't really think they're going to win this game, but they showed me something tonight. I mean, I like the way this team's playing right now.
Talking sports.
From a fan's perspective.
Mondays, right after Saturday Night Lights, and Wednesdays, right after the breakdown, right here on Deep End Radio. DeepEndMedia.net and RFSportsRadio.com.
And welcome back to our program. About 5 minutes left in the program. I want to thank everyone for tuning in, spending an hour and a half with us talking about the NBA championship. The Mavericks win 105-95 over the Miami Heat. I want to also thank NBA TV for the audio as well as ESPN as well, too. Thank you for allowing us to use the audio for our show. I also want to thank the Mavericks organization for allowing us to cover their team the entire season. I want to thank Scott Tillman as well for all he's done for our show and helping us, and we'll be live with them again next season. Our show comes on every Monday and Wednesday night, and sometimes on Friday and Saturday for our special programs. Stay tuned for Wednesday night. We'll talk about the aftermath of the championship and what's going to happen to the NBA as a whole and get you ready for the parade on Thursday morning, which you can watch live on our website at rfsportsradio.com. We get a chance to watch the parade as it happens. Royce is going to end our show with congratulations for the Mavs and the entire season. Go ahead with your congratulations, if you will, sir.
I want to congratulate the Dallas Mavs on a tremendous class act this year. Man, I mean, it's been a great season. It's been an exciting season for them to come out on top. It's really exciting. I thank the organization for letting – I feel like I was a part of this year by being behind the scenes, seeing the inner workings of the Mavericks, covering this team, the hospitality they showed us. And I look for them to repeat. I can't wait till the next year the polls come out. The Mavericks got to be ranked number one, and they are the team to beat. And I see no reason why they shouldn't come back and repeat next year.
And let's talk about our season. I think they do have a great chance to repeat, but we got to figure out what players are going to be there to help them repeat. I mean, you got Chandler is a free agent officially right now.
That's the first priority.
And Caron Butler is a free agent as well, although we run the title without him. Doesn't have a lot of leverage to negotiate a new contract. But there's other players, too. Pager, we know Pager was a one-year player. Will Jason Kidd retire? Let's start with Chandler first. I think it's crucial that we bring Chandler back. Is he our number one priority in the offseason?
Of course. That's the number one thing. I don't think you have a problem signing Chandler. He has been resurrected in Dallas, and I see no problem with that. Pager, on the other hand, I don't know. He's probably somebody you can let go. And, you know, we do have some guys. We have Stevenson Brewer. Corey Brewer, which we didn't see a lot of this year. JJ is up. That's a question he made. You know, I think he is. His stock rose.
Big time.
Yeah. But he comes from humble beginnings. He comes from humble. And I think he'll stay, you know, even if he didn't get a pay increase. Why not stay on another year and develop your skills? And the rest of the guys are pretty much locked up. I'd like to see Mahimi stay. He came on at the end. I think the guy has skills.
Caron Butler? That's the biggest decision I think they have to make.
Well, I tell you what, and having been around Caron Butler, I don't see him going anywhere else either. I mean, I think he felt like he owed the team something. You know, they really, because he, you know, he really. It wasn't no fault of his. He wasn't there at the end. You know what I mean? I feel like he's going to get a ring, but I feel like he's incomplete. And from being around him, I think he would stay.
Yeah, so, I would love to see Caron stay, because I think with him on that team, we have a great chance to repeat. I think if he was there for this series, they may have swept the Miami Heat easily having a guy that's the number two scorer in the starting lineup, I think, would be huge. Page, I think that he won't be back next season. And Kidd, I think he may try to play one more season. He might not retire right away.
And you're absolutely right. And no reason why not. The guy played like a 25-year-old. And I think Brian Cardinal paid Mark Cuban to play here. So
yeah.
I don't know what his pay is. I think he would. I think they could pretty much keep this team intact. I wouldn't mess with, you don't mess with greatness. But what I do look for is Miami to get bigger because, you still got to deal with guys in the East, big guys, and also the West, So I do look for them to get better. I don't think the Mavericks should change. Leave it the way it is.
And, again, we thank you guys for tuning into our program. It's been a great program. Go back and download it on iTunes, RF Sports Radio. Find it there. Follow us online at rfsportsradio.com. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Hey, this is Woody B from the Dallas Mavericks, and you listen to Our Sports Radio.